Welcome back, community group leaders, to this week's episode of the Deeper Podcast, where we partner with you as you lead a group of people who joyfully share life together as you find and follow Jesus. This week on the Deeper Podcast, we're going to be continuing our series, Graciously Defiant, where we're going to be going to explore a biblical perspective on being a faithful presence in a world that is widening its detachment from God and His Word.
Have you worked on your podcast voice?
Yeah.
Like, is that your honed, perfected voice? Because that sounded amazing.
It did.
Yeah.
No, it's just my calm voice.
Oh, this is your calm voice. Okay, okay. It was excellent. I'm ready to listen. Let's go.
Well, here we go. That, everyone, is Doug Freshicles Congdon. I love it. So Jug is going to be preaching this weekend, and joining us on the podcast is Carol Denton. Carol, thanks for being here. So glad to have you. So, rumor has it that this is your first podcast experience. Is this true?
That is more than true. Yes, this is my very first time. That was when I was asked to do this. That was one reason why I thought, why not? How many more chances for new things am I going to get in my life? So, yeah.
Awesome. That's so cool. Well, we're glad to have you, and really excited to get to have your perspective and hear on this. Mm-hmm. So, for those of you watching, you can see that we've got some of these new contraptions holding the microphones. And so, if you're listening, hopefully these little marshmallow things on top will eliminate some of those extra peas and popping sounds for you. But Shout out to Tech Arts. Special thank you for continuing to always improve upon that.
Yeah.
I know one of the feedback I got when I was talking about this with one of the leaders is he's like, "What? The sound sounds great. I don't understand." So, Wyatt Johnston, everyone, and the Tech Arts for continuing to improve upon things that are good and making it better so that we can continue to reach people. Yeah. Awesome. So, quick update on the family dinner and worship night. There was over 250 people. You guys came out with your families to come eat food and then go hang out with citizens. Mm. I was not expecting citizens to put on such a show. Mm-hmm. I was loving it. What's really cool is having the kids afterwards. They, throughout this week, have been asking the Googles. We have a little Google assistants in our house to play music. And they keep asking, say, "Googles, play the concert, play the worship concert." So we'll have to, like, cut our phones and fix it. But, like, the kids, I didn't know how it was going to go, like, with how loud it was. But
Kids were in the main auditorium for it?
They came in the main auditorium for most of it.
That's
awesome. We got towards the end of the night and had to get to the family room because we were getting tired. But
that's so cool.
They were loving it, and they still love it. And so, in case you missed that, Citizen's new album is awesome. Love it. And so, feel free to check that out. But thank you guys for all showing up for that.
Yeah.
Now, as we get into the meat and potatoes of this, Doug, what is the big takeaway that you want people to walk away from your sermon knowing, like, this is what I talked about this week?
Yes. Yeah. Basically, a large part of my goal will be to convince or show people how prevalent contempt is in our world today and in the church too, just in our pews, if you will, even though we don't have pews. And then to show them kind of a couple steps they can take to move out of contempt, which is kind of, you know, tearing apart our country a little bit and our churches, and move towards honoring other people and kind of reflecting the way that Jesus treated people when he was here. So,
good. I like it. Now, do you want to do the extra bits part now, or do you want to do it later?
Because
this is the favorite coveted time. So what are the extra bits that you weren't able to cover that you would love to know
about? I actually don't know how exciting this will be, but this is fun for me. So
I take fun facts. We'll do it.
I'm leading a little class of young adults who are teaching. So I'm helping train them how to teach. So I gave them the 7 passages from the daily devotional for this week. And I said, here's the topic I'm preaching on. Moving from contempt to honor. I said, read through these 7 passages and choose whichever one, and if you want 2, that best exemplify and show this move that we're supposed to make. So we gathered a week later, and there are 6 people in the class. And I said, okay, let's go around the room. Everybody share their favorite passage. And there were, out of the 7 passages, 6 different passages chosen that they thought best represented what we were supposed to talk about, which, since I was using their work to help me preach my sermon, was very frustrating because they just left me more confused than when I went in. I said, thanks for nothing. But also, it was really good to see, each of the passages this week kind of took a slightly different take on what contempt and honor look like. And so the first, if you notice, if you read this week, guys, the first 3 days were about the negative side. Like, what does it mean to have contempt? Proverbs 18 was like, this is how you move into contempt. And Mark 6 was like, Jesus couldn't even do miracles because of the contempt in his hometown. And Romans 2 is like, when you judge other people, you're opening yourself up to the wrath of God. And then the last 4 passages were different ways in which we should and could honor each other and with a positive side of things. So I don't know if you guys noticed that, like, first 3, second 4 shift there in the middle of the week. But I thought that was interesting. And obviously, then I caved when I preached my sermon. You guys will hear this, but I chose 3 passages instead of 1 passage. So
3, but one of them wasn't on the reading list for this week.
Oh, yeah, that's a great point. I even added an 8th. Yeah. Great point. I really thought the best one to show honor was a Philippians 2. So you guys will hear that or have heard it already if you were at the sermon Philippians 2. So that's a great point, Cody. Thanks for that reminder.
Yeah, I'll put that at the end of the cross-reference passages in the discussion guide so you guys can have that and be able to flip to that quickly. But thanks for sharing that.
Yeah,
that'd be great.
Thanks, Cody.
So, after speaking of this week's reading, after reading the Romans 2 passage, I'm going to read verse 4. You put a lot of your sermon anchored in and around that area, and then we'll ask this first question. But when I was reading verse 4, this is the question that came to my mind, and I'd love to hear your guys' perspectives on it. So Romans 2, verse 4 reads, "Or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance?" So how does remaining in contempt prevent you from experiencing that kindness of God?
Yeah, you're asking me. Yeah.
Let's start with Carol.
Hey,
we'll hear from you in a minute.
Get in there.
All right. Can you repeat the question, please?
How does remaining in contempt prevent you from experiencing the kindness of God?
Mm. Well, for me, staying in contempt means all my attention's on myself. So I'm not looking at the face of Jesus. I'm not trying to imitate him. I'm just all about what I feel justified and right in doing or being. Yep. So that's kind of my barrier. That's what stops me.
That's good. I think the Greek word here, see, we read from the ESV, obviously. Yep. And 2:4 says, "Do you presume on the kindness of God?" And the Greek is translated in the NIV more correctly, "Do you show contempt for God's kindness and his mercy?" Mm-hmm. And so really, when we are showing contempt for God's kindness and mercy for ourselves, it is because we are thinking that we don't need it, right? Like Carol said, justifying yourself, you are justifying yourself to the point that you're like, hey, God needs to go get these other people, right? But yeah, I'm fine. And so you're focused on other people's faults, their sins, their need for God, while thinking that you yourself have got it figured out. You believe the right things, you think the right things, you act the right way. Mm-hmm. And so it prevents you from showing compassion, forgiveness to other people. The story I wanted to share but didn't have time for is that parable that Jesus shares of the unmerciful servant, where the king forgives one guy, you know, basically a couple $1 billion in today's day and age. And
is that an exact count?
It actually is like six. I mean, they did the thing, it's like $6 billion.
Oh my goodness.
Wow.
And then he goes and doesn't forgive, right, the guy that owes him, and I think that's roughly like $12,000, right? So forgiven $6 billion, goes and like
petty change at that point.
Tortures the guy for $12,000, and it's like, that's what I'm doing when I am judging other people for what I can see their sins to be, is I'm forgetting that God forgave my $6 billion, and I'm going and making other people feel bad for their $12,000 or whatever. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, awesome. So this next question, what is keeping you continually harboring contempt for others? What keeps you stuck in that?
For me, it's the word we use, confirmation bias. It's surrounding myself with people who think and talk exactly like I do. And so I am unable to move towards somebody who believes, thinks, acts differently than me, because I refuse to enter into their world. I refuse to hear their story. I want to stay in the absolutes of black and whites because it makes me feel good and makes me feel like there are evil people out there that I'm better than. And so that kind of just, I think we sit in that a lot. We foster those feelings inside of ourselves because it makes us feel good, instead of, you know, going out there across the aisle, across the way, and figuring out what other people believe and why they believe it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What about you? Sorry.
Well, so in your sermon, we'll backtrack a little bit. You mentioned when you were in Austin and getting to experience different people's perspectives. And so how does that help you? Like, how do you discern that when it's like somebody who's like looking more like Christ versus like, well, I just don't think the same way that you do. Like, how do you let that voice in?
Yeah, that's good.
Without, you know, like without compromising, like where do you, how do you filter that?
Yeah. I mean, I think it takes some sense of resolution or resoluteness in your own faith and beliefs to know why you believe what you believe. Mm-hmm. But the listening part of listening to somebody who disagrees with you is, in a sense, when you listen to them, you are showing them honor and love while not compromising or saying, yeah, whatever you tell me, I'm going to believe. It's merely saying, I want to hear why you believe something because you are made in the image of God. I believe that you're intelligent. You have, you know, all of these positive qualities. And so I listened to people in Austin frequently who believed very differently from me. Mm. While at the same time, I'll say I left Austin believing mostly exactly what I went into believing. So I held my beliefs, but in opening my heart and my mind to what other people believed, was able to show them love and honor so they would leave that interaction feeling like listened to, important, valued. At the same time, in my own mind, I know, oh, I still believe differently because I still believe scripture says this, or I believe this interpretation of this controversial passage that we're going back and forth on. So it doesn't have to lead to compromise, but I think that's our fear, is if we open ourselves up to what other people believe, that it means we will compromise. And I don't think that's a necessity.
So instead of, you know, not hearing different perspectives for fear of that, like that would be compromising, but allowing that to actually come and...
Yeah, those are my thoughts, at least. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Carol, what is keeping you to continue to harbor that contempt for others?
Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's, I think it comes down to insecurity and just not feeling like a worthwhile, adequate person. And so that's what keeps me feeling insecure enough that I want to make sure that I'm justified, that I'm listened to, that my ideas are out front. And I love what you said about when you were in Austin talking to people with different opinions and going into a conversation with that kind of attitude of honoring someone is a way to help them not feel like they have to hang on to contempt because you've listened to them, you've validated them. And when someone does that for me, it's like it takes me down and it takes some of the wind out of my sails of anger or whatever to just realize, hey, you know, it's okay that I believe what I believe, and it's okay that they right now that they believe what they believe. We're still children of God. That's my brother or sister, and we can confirm each other in that, no matter where we are in our thinking.
Yeah,
nice.
Now, Carol, this next question is talking about what is a practical next step to take. And I think you sit in a very like awesome spot here at the church working with refugees and all of the outreach stuff that you do. And so I think this is a great way to look at that perspective. So like how did you get into that position where you're like comfortable like working in those roles, working with these people that would be really quite easy to just marginalize, right? Or to write off as different than ourselves. Mm-hmm. Like, can you talk more about that?
That's an interesting question. How I got into the role of welcome coordinator, it wasn't something that I was initially interested in at all, but God changed my heart on that. And it wasn't that I didn't care about refugees. It was that I didn't see myself working with them. I'm an introvert, and so working that closely with people isn't something that I necessarily go out and, you know, try to make happen. But I think that in the process of just learning to love Jesus more and seeing things through His eyes, I could see or I could imagine what was going on in Jesus's mind and heart, what does go on in His mind and heart when He looks at people who are vulnerable and subjected to injustice. And I don't know, a couple of years ago during COVID, one of the things I did a longer study on is just justice. And there I have like 11 typewritten pages of scripture just on justice. I had no idea, and that's not even all of them. And so so it's a justice issue, I think, when we treat other people the way we try to treat them, the same way that, and the way that God looks at them, the way that he feels about them, taking delight in them. That's what I want. I want God to look at me that way and treat me that way. So, yeah. So it's a matter of, if I want that for myself, I need to give that to others. And that's a way I encourage the church. I encourage other believers. And I, because it demonstrates the heart of God. And it's an example even to non-believers of why are these people, why are Christians going out of their way to be kind to other people? What are they getting out of it? Mm-hmm. Nothing. Mm-hmm. they're doing it because that's the way their God treats them. So,
yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I really appreciate you sharing that. And 11 pages of research is it's quite a lot.
Yeah. It's all scripture. I mean, it's not even research. I mean, that's how important justice is to God. Justice, righteousness, and that's what we're talking about with honor.
Mm-hmm.
It's right down the same alley.
Yeah. Doug, what are you taking as a practical next step? Like, what does that look like to move from being in contempt to honoring and respecting others?
Yeah. I think the closest step, I don't know that it's the easiest, is I'm guessing that everybody listening has people in their lives that they know that see the world very differently than they do. Political issues, religious issues. And I think a great first step would be to build a bridge to that person by asking them to get coffee, to go to lunch, to sit down, and without any agenda, ask them their story, ask them why they believe what they believe, and go in with a heart that's really open and isn't trying to convince them, but just tries to hear, to listen to understand, as we say in the sermon, to just listen to understand them. And I think in doing that, the more we do that, the more we humanize and see the like image of God in those people shine through in different ways. And you can't sit in contempt and see somebody as a child of God up close. And so if that's an easy step for people that are close to you. I think it's easy for us to have contempt for politicians, for Washington, D.C., the number one song on the charts right now, Richmond, north of Richmond, is a lot of just like those political issues, and just hearing people's reaction to that song is just the reminder that we have a lot of contempt for people we'll never maybe meet, never sit down, never get coffee with. So what does it look like to begin to expose yourself to the ideas that those people espouse and believe, the people on the other side of the political aisle from you? There's super practical ways to do that. So I'll say it here. I'm not going to say it in church necessarily, but I subscribe to a newsletter called The Flip Side is probably the easiest one. If you want to check that out, it just presents all the current issues from both sides of the aisle without any kind of opinion involved in that. And so I would say if you struggle more with contempt for people who are far away, then start taking steps like that to break your algorithms, like change the news that you're seeing, change that, and really expose yourself to the other worldviews and other people out there.
Yeah, I think that's a great like step in the right direction, because it's not necessarily like compromise everything you are and go watch the opposite person's news. It's, hey, take some time and just think about the issue without that lens. Because how often it's so easy to just put that lens on of like, well, the other people. Yep. Instead of realizing like we're all children of God here, we're all trying to, you know, take care of one another. It just looks different.
Mm. Yeah.
And so
it's good. Yeah,
very good stuff.
Yeah. Great.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Carol, will you pray for us, and I'll close us out with that?
Yeah. Thank you. Well, Father, thank you so much for the words that you gave to Doug in the sermon. We pray, God, that they would be seeds in the hearts of the leaders, the community group leaders, and in the participants in those groups, and that you would, oh man, just expand our understanding of what it's like to look at other people through your eyes of love and kindness and patience and gentleness, and that you would grow us in that direction. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Awesome. Well, guys, if you're still looking for an opportunity to serve, the Love Topeka sign-up for September will still be in the email link. You guys can check that out and get registered for that and find a site there. But with that, that's all we've got for you today. Look forward to seeing you guys next time.